lift my biblical text from the book of John, St. John chapter 1. I'll commence reading at verse number 1 and conclude with verse number 9. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. The word of the Lord declares, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Jesus being was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it or comprehended it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Aren't you glad today to know that God sent the light into the world in and through His only begotten Son to become flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh? He sent His only begotten Son to make substitutionary atonement for us, to redeem us back unto Himself. What an awesome God we serve, that He would love us so much that He saw that this world had become so corrupt, so dark, that He would send the light, the gospel light, and sending His only begotten Son. And so today I want to speak with you for only a few moments from this subject: the light reveals truth. The light reveals truth. If you were to walk into a dark room, you won't be able to see what's literally awaiting you in that room. As a matter of fact, anybody ever try to walk in a dark room and you hit your toe on something and you don't find out what you hit your toe on until you turn the light on? So light reveals unto us what's in a dark place. It dispels darkness, illuminating the way for us, a path, so that we might see where we're going. And so that's what God did in sending His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, in an ever-increasing dark world in order to project His light and illuminate the light of Christ unto us in this dark and dying world. And so during this Advent season, we believers are tremendously grateful for the light. It's about the light. It's about the light of Jesus Christ, who's illuminated a pathway for us whereby we're able to walk in the clarity of His Word, in the clarity of His purpose for our lives. As a matter of fact, no one has an excuse, a legitimate excuse for walking in darkness, because God has revealed His truth unto us. He's revealed the way, the truth, and the life. He's given us the way, which is the path, the truth, which is His Word, the life, which is Jesus Christ Himself, who became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. In other words, it was revealed unto many that He is the glory of God. He is the lifeline. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the healer. He is our deliverer. So it was revealed unto many that this, in fact, is and was the Son of the living God, who was full of truth. And so our text says that His life is the light of men. In other words, the very life of God is the light. His life has become the light of man. every man and woman who comes into the world, Christ has been that light. For every man, woman, boy, and girl who comes into the world has an opportunity to walk in the light. Christ has been that light since his first light shone in Bethlehem more than 2,000 years ago. He has been and still is that light of truth. Imagine for a moment that you're on a hilltop with the shepherds in Bethlehem. It's a calm and peaceful night. Most of the herd has gone to sleep, and so you find a strategic spot to settle in with them for the rest of the night. And you're sitting on the ground, leaning against the rock, looking up at the mysterious moon and twinkling stars displaying their usual brightness. And when suddenly there is a burst of light beyond the hills that changes the region. And curiously, you jump to your feet and summon the other shepherds to gaze at the strange bright light that has suddenly appeared in the sky. We're talking about a world that was dark, that was gloomy, that had no life. And all of a sudden, the first impression of this light appears in the text. And did you see it? It just came out of nowhere. Look how it casts its light all the way to the ground. What could it be? Then just as suddenly, there appears a host of angels above you. And at first you think you're dreaming, but then you realize the other shepherds are witnessing the same strange phenomenon. The angels sing out the directions to Bethlehem, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." One of the shepherds say, "We need to check this out. So all of you, wake up your herds and gather them together for the journey of a lifetime, because somehow you know you can't ignore this light." This light was not a light like any other. It was an unusual light. It was a peculiar light. It could not be ignored. Fast forward a bit now, you're an astrologer. You're meeting with some local kings of the East to share your miraculous discovery of a new star, the brightest star you've ever seen. Three of the kings are intrigued enough to say, "We need to follow this star and see where it leads." How many of us have received a revelation from the Lord and said, "I need to follow God's word to see where God wants for me to be. I need to follow this revelation of God's word to see where God is leading me." This is what we're seeing in the text. There was revelation. See, everybody's not going to see the revelation of God's light. In fact, many people at Christmas put up Christmas lights. They decorate their homes with beautiful lights, never even comprehending the revelation of the true light of Jesus Christ. They celebrate the commercialism of Christmas without receiving the revelation of the light. If you could only understand the power of this light. Mary's baby is the source of that light. He is resting in a manger meant for food for domestic creatures. In other words, he's in a manger. He's in a feeding trough that it's been designed to feed animals. Can you imagine with me how filthy this feeding trough must have been? It was dirty. It was nasty. It smelled bad. But here it is. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords had no other place but a feeding trough, and no other place but a place that was used to feed domestic animals. So all of these players in the Christmas story followed the light. They followed not knowing what they know. We know right now that this baby in a manger was the fulfillment of prophecy, the hope of salvation, the light of the world. He was the rose of Sharon. He was the chief cornerstone. He was the consolation of Israel. They didn't know what we know now. They didn't know, understand the revelation. All they knew was this light was a peculiar light. It was a strange light. It was a different light. Which leads me to the first point in my message. First, Christ came to pave the way for a new covenant. In other words, Jesus Christ came in order to bridge the gap between God and man. He came with a new covenant. We thank God for the old covenant. We thank God for the law of Moses. We thank God for the Old Testament. But Jesus came to bring a new testament. He came to bring a new covenant, whereby which we will all can all be included, both Jew and Gentile. We are all able to be included in this covenant. Look at your neighbor and tell them, this covenant includes me. It does not exclude me, but this covenant includes me. John says that the life, Christ, was the light of men. Christ came into the world to usher in a new covenant, one that promised a personal and intimate relationship with Christ. How do we develop a personal relationship with Christ? How do we develop a communication with Christ, a connection with Christ? We must first learn how to talk to God through prayer. Watch this. But Jesus' name is the access point whereby which we're able to communicate with God. Why? Because we're not worthy in our own strength to go to God. No man can see God and live. And so Jesus made it possible whereby which we can go to God for anything as long as we go in Jesus' name. So that is our connection. He is our protection. He is the reason why we're not consumed in the presence of God. Because when you go to God, you must go through the door, which is Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the way. He paved the way. He made it possible for you and I to have covenant with God Himself. Aren't you glad today to know that Jesus became the go-between? He became the last Adam for you and for me. And He came to show us the way to be conjoined to the Father. That way is through Him. He is the door. Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You cannot come to the Father through Buddha, through Muhammad. You cannot come to the Father through any of the false god, lowercase g. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the road. Listen, if you want to go to Orlando, have to know that there are multiple ways of getting to Orlando. Because you don't have to take the turnpike. There are other avenues to getting to Orlando from Miami. But if you want to get to God, there is only one way. You can't take a detour. You can't take a roll back way. You can't take a back street. There is only one way to get into God. You've got to go God's way. You must go through the door, which is Jesus Christ. And He is that revelation of a new covenant. And when you see this light and understand this light and comprehend this light, you will understand that this light of Jesus Christ is all about creating a new covenant between God and man, whereby which we will have a clear path to God. And that's why you don't pray in God's name alone. Because if you go to God and you say, I'm going to God, I want this, I want that, and you refuse to mention the name of Jesus, which is the name that gives you access, you could be talking to Buddha. You can be talking to your ancestors. But there is no power in the name. Thank God for my family name. Thank God for my forefathers and mothers. But there is no power in their names. Thank God for the legacy that they left for me and my siblings to carry on. But there is no power in my last name, my surname. Because all power is in the name of Jesus. Because when you mention the name of Jesus, it gives you access to Jehovah God. Secondly, second point in my message is that Christ came to reveal truth. He came to reveal truth. He is the truth. He is the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the revelation of God's word. It goes beyond just reading the text, but Jesus Christ came to give us the prophetic revelation of God's word. In other words, it's important that when you and I read the word of God, that we don't read it from a low God's perspective alone, but we must look for the rhema of God's word and understand that God is trying to give us a prophetic word, a word for right now, and another word for our current dispensation. That it's important that we pray to God when we read the word of God, that we talk to God and say, God, give me a revelatory word for what it is you're saying to me. And so the purpose of his life is to reveal man's reason for living and to infuse energy into a sinful world. The prophets of the old foretold of the coming of the Christ child and the life he would lead. But the truth of the prophecies were not revealed until the moment in Bethlehem. Look at your neighbor and tell him, thank God for Bethlehem. This is when the day spring from on high visited us. This is when Jesus came and paid us a visit. And how many know that no one switches on a flashlight in a room flooded with sunlight? Jesus came because there was an urgent need for the light. There was an urgent need for revelation. There was an urgent need for illumination. There was an urgent need for the truth being projected onto a dark and dying, an ever increasingly dying world. There was a purpose. There was a reason. And Christ filled us with his truth by motivating men to walk in the light and live as God's children. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. In other words, you have no excuse for walking in darkness because Jesus is the light of the world. But we shall have light of life. So the light is in the life of Christ. The light is not in us knowing or merely knowing about Jesus Christ. But the light comes, the revelation comes, the illumination comes when you get to know the life of Christ. That's why when we partake in the Lord's Supper, the text says, when you eat of my flesh. In other words, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision after the flesh. That's why we eat of the flesh. It's not saying that we're eating of Jesus' physical body. It is only symbolic of the fact that we're taking on the characteristics, the mannerisms, the behavior of Jesus Christ and his life. We're taking on the life of Christ. Saying that we want to be a part of this new covenant. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so Christ came to reveal the truth and teach the way of God in truth. Not in falsehood, not in fake news, but in and through the truth of God's word. He shows us how God intended man to live, how to save our lives from destruction and hell. Jesus said, I am come as light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And without Christ, man must navigate the darkness alone. But with Christ, we have a GPS. We have a global positioning system that gives us directions on how to live this life free of sin. Anybody ever been driving in your car and you realize you don't know where you're going? But then you turn on your GPS, whether it's built into your car, built into your phone. You turn on your GPS and you just ride. And you follow the instructions of your global positioning system. Why? Because you trust that it's going to get you where you are going. And sometimes the GPS will take you on a back street. It'll take you a different way, but you're so confident in your GPS's ability to get you where you're going to where you don't even worry about it. Maybe it's taking you a shortcut, but you know without a shadow of a doubt that it's going to get you where you're going. Jesus came to get us where we're going. Jesus came to pave the way to make sure we have no excuses for getting to heaven. Anybody want to go to heaven? You need to follow the way, the truth, and the life. You need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision after the flesh. And so man's own truth burns dim against Christ, the light of the world. Our truth is no comparison to the truth of God's word. God's word is truth all by itself. It does not need your validation. It does not need my validation. If I refuse to preach his word, it's still truth. If I refuse to live his word, it's still truth. If you refuse to live his word, it's still truth. His word is truth. And so when our truth thrusts us into a helpless situation, Christ is our helper. When our truth propels us into poverty, Christ is our wealth. When our truth causes us to stumble, having to know that Christ is our stability. When our truth gives us a headache, Christ is our hope. And when our truth overwhelms us with duty, Christ is our delight. And when our truth results in burdens, Christ is our blessing. When our truth causes us calamity, Christ is our solution. He is our song. He is our serenity. He is our security. And he is our success. When your back is up against the wall, Christ is your way out. He is your way over. He is your way around. And he's your way through. Which brings me to my third and final point in my message. Christ came to give us the abundant life. He said, if you live your life in and through me, you can have abundant life. His light offers mankind an abundant life this side of heaven, an eternal life thereafter. Not the abundance you find under a tree. Not the abundance you wish you had in your bank account. Not the abundance of material possessions. But God, through Christ Jesus, he offers you abundant life. That you can live this life abundantly. Meaning you're rich not in material possessions, but you're rich because you know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins. Christ offers you this gift, and they are from the spiritual realm. Christ gives us abundant honor. It doesn't matter what our resumes may say. It does not matter what money you have in the bank. It does not matter what investments you have in stocks and bonds. Christ offers you the wealth of the Spirit. For God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Did you catch that? There is no big eyes, a little huge. There is no special one. But we are all equal in God's kingdom. Oh, praise His holy name. Christ shows us abundant mercy. No one has ever sinned so much that God cannot forgive you. It does not matter how far in sin you go. Christ is able to redeem you. Christ is able to clean you. Christ is able to rejuvenate you. Christ is able to reinvigorate you. Christ offers us abundant grace. He offers us His healing power. He offers us the redemption of His word. In other words, through this ministry, God desires you to experience the abundance grace showered down on you. Not just today, but every day. Look at your neighbor and tell him every day. His grace is sufficient. His mercy is everlasting. God's grace and blessings should cause us to rejoice in the birth of our Savior and propel us to offer up praise of thanksgiving to His marvelous name. Because Christ was born to show mankind that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. So the shepherds could have ignored His light. But as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." This thing that God has revealed unto us. What are you going to do with what God has revealed unto you? Are you going to ignore it? Are you going to do something about it? Are you going to ignore it? Or are you going to follow hard after this light as the deer panteth after the water brook? Does your soul long after God? Do you thirst after the righteousness of God's truth? The kings could have ignored the new star in the heavens, but they chose to travel a great distance to meet this new King of Kings whose birth had been foretold. What are you willing to do? How far are you willing to travel to get to God, to get to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? How far are you willing to travel? The Lord's light is shining on us today. It's shining. It's illuminating upon us today. The revelation of God's word is illuminating the way for us to walk on a clear path and to have abundance and to walk in the word of God, to walk in the will of God, to walk in every purpose, every promise, and every provision that God has predestined for you and for me. God has made made it easy in sending his only begotten son for us to have this truth, to have this life, that we might walk therein regardless of what we might be encountering. He is still our Redeemer. Jesus is still the joy of our lives. No matter what we're faced with, he's still our peace, which surpasses all understanding. He's a joy that is overflowing. No matter what we may be dealing with, he's still wisdom. He's still our deliverer. He's still our healer. He's still our way out of no way. He's still a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No matter what we are going through, he still is and always will be the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world. Anybody ever seen a sunflower? The interesting thing about sunflowers is that you know, the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. The sunflower is designed to, whenever the sun is illuminated in the east, the sunflower changes its position so that it is aimed in the direction of the sun. And as the sun throughout the day makes its movement around the earth, the sunflower moves with the sun. So as the sun moves, the sunflower follows the leading of the S-U-N. It follows the leading of the S-U-N all the way around from east to west. And so that by the time the sun is setting, the sunflower has totally changed its position from east to west. So because it is sucking up as much sunlight as possible. But this is the interesting thing that's even more significant about the sunflower, that as it is moving in the direction of the sun, it is slinging seed on the ground. I come to tell you that as you follow the S-O-N, as you follow the direction of the S-O-N, God is going to allow you to be fruitful. He's going to allow you to multiply. He's going to allow you to bring forth fruit. And the fruit that you bring forth is going to germinate. And it's going to bring forth more fruit. He's going to allow you to let your light shine so that others may see your good works and glorify the Father. He's going to allow you to spread wisdom and knowledge and revelation and illumination as you go along. He's going to allow you to impart words of revelation, words of knowledge, words of life, words of comfort, words of consolation, words of forgiveness, words of healing into the lives of others. You will be able to give an impartation into the lives of others. Why? Because you are following the S-O-N. Like the sunflower follows the S-U-N, as you and I follow the S-O-N, we're going to get light, and that more abundantly. We're going to have a supernatural and filtering of God's light, of the revelation of God's word. And as you go along, watch this, as you follow the truth of God's word from sun rising into sun setting, that God is going to bring people in your path who needs the sun that you're following. He's going to bring people in your path so that they might receive the same life, that you might impart seeds of wisdom into their lives. This son of God, he is the rose of Sharon. He is Mary's baby. He was born in Bethlehem, reared in Nazareth. He was baptized in the Jordan River. He performed miracles in Galilee. He wept over Jerusalem. So my question for you today is, have you seen this light?
Have you seen this light? He prayed in Gethsemane. He turned water into wine. He healed the official son at Capernaum. He oversaw a large catch of fish. Have you seen this light? He healed a possessed man in the synagogue. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. He healed a leper. Have you seen this light? He healed the paralytic. He healed a man at the Sue of Bethesda. He healed a man with a withered hand. He healed the centurion's servant. Ask your neighbor, have you seen this light? He raised the widow's son from the dead. He healed the blind, mute, and demonic. He calmed a storm. Have you seen this light? He healed the Pharisees and the demonic. Have you seen this light? I'm talking about the light who healed the woman with the issue of blood for 12 long years. I'm talking about the light who raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He healed two blind men who wouldn't stop following him. He healed the mute and demonic. Have you seen this light? He fed 5,000 with food left to spare. He walked on the water. He calmed the wind. He fed 4,000. He healed the deaf and the muted. Have you seen this light? He healed a demonic possessed boy. He healed a man born blind at birth at Siloam. Have you seen this light? He healed a crippled woman. He healed a man with dropsy. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He healed 10 lepers. Have you seen this light? He healed and his friend. Have you seen this life? He healed the withered fig tree. He cursed it because it refused to bring forth fruit. Have you seen this life? He is the ladder that ascends and descends. For there is a name given unto heaven that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that he is the Lord. He is King. He is the King of glory. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the Lord, strong and mighty. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. The King of glory shall come in. The King of truth shall come in. The King of righteousness shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He is the ladder that ascends and descends. He is the consolation of Israel. He is the bread of life. He is the one. He is the merciful God. Who is this King? He is the great physician. He is the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, that of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Who is this King? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Who is this King? He is the image of God. He is the prophet. He is the bishop of our souls. Who is this King? He is the rewarder. Who is this King? He is the eternal God. Who is this King? He is the way, our peace, the refiner's fire. He is the Spirit. He is the righteous one. Have you seen the light? He's quickening power. He's the stone that the builder rejected. Who is this king? He is Jehovah, and he is Lord. He is the intercessor. He is the temple. He is the prince of peace. He's the gentle whisperer. He is the master. He is the savior. He is the prince, and he is the king. Have you seen this light? He is the Lord God. He is the light. He's Emmanuel. He is Nazareth. He is God with us. He is the image of his person. He is majestic in on high. He is the I am. He's the way. He's the truth. And he is the life. Have you seen him? He is the Lord God Almighty. Why don't you ask your neighbor, neighbor, have you seen the light? Have you seen the light? For on this day, in the city of David, a Savior was born, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. You ought to give him praise. If you know the light, you ought to give him praise. If you're seeing the light, you ought to give him praise. If you've been redeemed by the light, you ought to give him praise. We're standing all over the building. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I've seen the light, and he is my Savior. I've seen the light, and he gives me peace in this troubled world. I've seen the light, and he's become my shelter. I've seen the light, and the righteous run into, and they are safe. I've seen the light, and he is my protector. He's the bishop of my soul. He's a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I've seen the light, and he is my portion. He is my strength. I've seen the light, and his grace is sufficient for me. For his strength is made perfect in weakness. Have you seen the light? That gospel light. I want to invite the ministers to come. Ministers, come. I believe that God wants to heal someone today. I believe that God wants to heal sick bodies today. I believe God wants to deliver someone. Someone who's encountering something devastating in your life. God wants to come to your aid. He wants to reveal himself mightily on your behalf. If that's you, I want you to make your way to this altar. If that's you. If you're dealing with a challenge.